We're in Tezayin Amid Aleph, five lines into the wide lines. The Gemara is discussing people that are banned and excommunicated for not listening to the rabbinic court's decision. Either they refuse to come to court, or when they come to court, they don't listen to the decision of the court. And the Gemara basically said like this: how do we know that the court can send an agent to summons them to court with an affirmation? How do we know that you can summons them to, that you have to come, to court with an affirmation? How do we know you have to say a great name that they are summoning you from also affirmation? And the various different things we learn affirmation. Affirmation Rabbeini. Now the Gemara says, Minolon de Shamtani. How do we know that if a guy doesn't the defendant doesn't listen to the summons of Beis Din, how do we know we excommunicate him? So Gemara says, we learn it out from a pasuk that says, Eidu Meireis, there was this guy Meireis, and Barak and Devorah, when they were going to battle, that's what we say in the Haftarah B'Shalach, Devorah and Barak, saying the song, the praise to Hashem. So when they were going to fight, so Barak and Devorah summons the general Meroz to come, to lead the battle. And he refused to come. So they cursed him. So basically it means they excommunicated him because Devorah and Barak called him to come and he refused to come. So the Gemara says, the Hachi Savar Gavir Rabba. From where do we know that when you summon somebody that you have to excommunicate him, that the person has to be informed of it? Now, how do you know you have to tell him that he's being excommunicated? Because it says in the pasuk, "Amar Malach Hashem," that the angel said of Hashem said to Meroz, to this guy who Dvorah excommunicated. So you see from here that if the angel told him he was excommunicated, that Beis Din needs to tell the person that they excommunicated.
Give him notice.
But then the Gemara says, "Uminolon the machrimin." How do we know we impose a chedem, which is even higher than excommunication? And the Gemara is going to discuss the various different levels of excommunication. There's chedem, there's nidui, there's shamto. These are the various different words. So the Gemara says, how do we know that would even go to a higher level? And the Gemara is going to explain what that means. That if he still doesn't listen, you put a bigger ban on the person with a curse and everything, because it says Eidu Oror. It said by the Maroz, it says cursed, which means there's a double ban. Sometimes a guy could be excommunicated and he still doesn't listen, he still doesn't do tshuva, so you can excommunicate him even more. And then the Gemara says the Och of Hashasim Bahadei, that how do we know that one who eats and drinks together with a person who is excommunicated is doing something wrong? In other words, how do we know that you're not allowed to sit and eat with them? So it says, Dechsev, because it says in the Pasuk, Yeshveha, cursed are the inhabitants. Meaning not only is the person cursed, the person who was excommunicated, but all the inhabitants around him are also excommunicated. In other words, they're cursed for doing something wrong. And then it says, on the part of, how do we know that we publicize the transgression of why the person was excommunicated? Meaning when the courts would excommunicate somebody, not only did they just excommunicate him, they publicize why they did it. So Gemara says, where do we learn that from? Because it says in the Pasuk, again, by the same guy of Meroz, it says, the Pasuk says, they cursed him. Why? Because he didn't come to help Hashem. Meaning he didn't come to help the nation of Hashem fight the war. Va'ama Ula, and Ula says, Ba'aba ma'ah shipure, with 400 shafers, shamti barak lemeroz. Barak excommunicated Meroz. What this means is, as the Mefarshim explain, that 400, when they would excommunicate somebody, they would blow shafer. Because shofar was like a symbol of gathering of people, a new note came out, like it says in the Chumash. When Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to tell the Jews something, he blew the trumpets, he blew the shofar, whatever it was. So when Barak excommunicated Meroz, he actually cursed, excommunicated by blowing 400 shayfers, meaning it was a loud public announcement that Meroz was going to be excommunicated.
Who's Meroz?
Meroz is a general that refused to go to fight for the Jews. So because he didn't listen, they excommunicated him. So because he's excommunicated, we're learning a lot of laws of excommunication from that story. Then the Gemara says, another answer is, who was this Meroz?
31.
Tazayin. The Gemara says, Ikad Amre, because now the Gemara wants to find out, we're talking about Meroz, he was cursed, who is this guy? So Ikad Amre, some people say, that Gavr Rabbi, he was a great man. That means he was actually a general. This is where the Gemara thinks, this opinion, that Meroz was a general that refused to come. Ikadamri, and other people say no. Kerchavahave, it was a star in the heaven. Not a person, it was a star. And meaning they asked the mazel to come help them. And the mazel refused to come help them to fight the war with Dvar and Barak. So they excommunicated the star. Because it says in the Pasuk, min hashamayim nelchama kechavim, that in the passage with Meroz, it says, from the heavens they fought the stars, did battle with Sisra. Meaning, the mazal is turned against Sisra. Okay? Then some people, they bring down at the bottom, another version of people in the Gemara, says was the name of a place. That they wanted the people in the city to come help. So there's three opinions. One person says he was a big general, who refused to come, so they cursed him. Another opinion says it was a star in the heavens that refused to come, so they cursed the star. And the third opinion is it was the name of a city.
Rabbi, were all the people around and with my Rav excommunicated also?
No, just him.
Just him?
Yep.
Who were those that you said around were also excommunicated?
No, people that eat and drink with them, party with them, those people also excommunicated. Because once a person is excommunicated, you're not allowed to be within 6 feet of him. You have to stand Dalet Amos away, at least. So
these people didn't listen to that?
Correct. So they were excommunicated. Now, according to the Mefarshim that they bring out to the bottom, Meroz was Sisra, who is the Goyish king that Barak and Devorah went to fight. He was Sisra's mazel, constellation in heaven. So they wanted, Barak and Devorah wanted that he should turn against Sisra. Because if he turns against Sisra, then Sisra would be weakened. And then he didn't, and he didn't listen to them, so they excommunicated him, and therefore he taka went against him. Now the Gemara continues and says, "Uminolon." So first of all, like this, we have a person excommunicated. You know, you can't eat with him, you can't do anything. He's cursed and all that stuff. Now the Gemara goes into punitive damages. It says, "Uminolon the mafkirin nichsei." How do we know that somebody that disobeys a bezdin and therefore he's excommunicated? How do we know that the bezdin has the ability to declare his property ownerless? It's called Hefker, Bezdin, Hefker. Bezdin can make his property Hefker, by not because he didn't listen to Bezdin. Because it says in the Pasuk, V'chol asher lo yaveh l'shlesh es hayamim, whoever will not come within 3 days, katzas asarim v'askenim, like the advice of the princes and the older people, yachram kol rechushi, all his property will be confiscated. V'yibadu mekal ha'keil, and he'll be separated, he'll be excommunicated from the congregation. So what do you see from there? Not only is the person excommunicated, but all his property, it's not his anymore. Whoever wants can take it. It's free for all.
If this guy come to your market to buy bread or whatever,
no,
you're supposed to...
Well, see in the Gemara.
Uh-huh.
In fact, at the bottom he explains, what is the story about over here? When the Jews came back to the second Beis HaMikdash with Ezra, they were all married, they were in Bavel. Most of them were married to Shixis.
I'm sorry, I didn't get it.
They were married to Shixis. You know what Shixis is? Yeah.
Persian Shixis.
Yeah. So they said, so the Anshei Knesset HaGedola, which was the best in the Ezra Mordechai, you know, the gang was from, they said that all returning exiles who gathered in Yerushalayim or either they should come back to Yerushalayim or they're going to suffer penalties. And many people didn't go back. So because of that, Ezra made it Gzeira, all your properties are free for all. Not only are you excommunicated, he said, all your properties are not yours anymore. In fact, it was a similar thing. You know, we have Truma belongs to the Kohen, Maisa belongs to the Levi. When Ezra went back up to the second base of Migdash, the Gemara says, the Levium refused to go back to Israel. So Ezra fined the Levium with property, money, because it was their, you know, Maisa is their right. Mm-hmm. He fined them that the Maisa goes to Kohanim, no more Levium.
The Kohanim wanted to go back to Israel?
Yeah, the Kohanim went with him, not the Levium. Then the Gemara says, Uminolan, the Natsinan, where do we know that the court contend with disobedient individuals? Meaning, the court can fight with such people and beat them up until they realize what they did wrong. So where do we see the power of the court? And not only that, V'laitinan, you can curse them. U'machinan, and you can hit them. V'talshinan, sayer, you can pull out their hair. U'mashbi'inan, and make them swear that they will not repeat their transgressions. Meaning, the Gemara says, Bezin has such power. Number one, you can make your his property free for all. In addition to that, Bezin, the Gemara said, where do we learn out that Bezin can beat the guy up and curse him, pull out his hair, and mamish torture the guy until he does tshuva? Because it says in the Pasuk, Va'odiv imam, I will fight with them. Va'kalim, I will curse them. Va'akami, I'm anoshim, and I'll beat their people. Va'martem, and I'll tear their hair out. Va'ashbim, I'll make them swear that they'll never do it again.
Where is it written
that? That pasuk is in Nechemiah. That's a sign, right? It's in Nechemiah. In fact, in 42, he brings down at the bottom here. That's how Nechemiah reports how he dealt with those Jews who had married non-Jewish women in Bavel and refused to let them go. See, Mamish beat them up, he cursed them, he excommunicated them, he did everything under the sun.
So we have a source for mafiosos here. Mafiosos
attack. No, that's Bezdin Mafia. Bezdin Mafia is not a mafia. Then the Gemara says even more. I mean, Olon the Kaftinan. How do we know that you could tie the guy up? You could tie a person, handcuff him, his hands and feet. Not only the Vasirinim, you could tie him to a post. You know, you could tie the guy to a stick to beat him up. Because it says Vavdinan have Ardafa, and you can even do pursuit. Meaning, the Gemara is going to explain what that means, but you can even do all these things to the guy. Because it says in the Pasuk, Hain Lemeis, anyone who does not fulfill the law of Hashem, but what's going to be, what are the Bezdin going to do to him? They said like this, Hain Lamos, either they'll kill him, or Lashashil Laprud him, or Lanosh to punish him, or an Alanish Nixon to punish with his property, or Lasurin, or to imprison him. So again, you see the power that Bezdin had to do whatever they wanted to these people. So the Gemara says, what is the Pasuk uses the word Lishreishay. So the Gemara says, my Lishreishay. What is the definition of the word Lishreishay? Amr Adam Mari, Amr Nechemi Bar Baruch, Amr Rechia Bar Amr, Amr Rav Yudah, Amit Hardofa. You can uproot him by pursuing him. And the Gemara says, my hardafa. What does hardafa mean? So the Gemara says like this. Amr Rav Yudah b'rei d'Rav Shmuel b'Ashil s'mishmei d'Rav. This is what we mentioned briefly before. Minadin la'alter. If a guy refuses to listen to Bezdin, you Bezdin immediately excommunicates him. V'sheinim, and we repeat excommunication if he didn't do tshuva, la'achash teshim after 30 days. U'machrimim la'achash shishim. And then if he doesn't, then we do even more. We put him in excommunication, meaning you keep excommunicating him, and also he gets cursed at that time. In other words, like we said before, there's nidui, which is a lesser form of excommunication, and then there's chedim, which is a harsh form of excommunication that goes with curses, and you can beat him up, and you can do all that. So the Gemara says there's three stages. The guy doesn't listen right away, you excommunicate him. You give him 30 days to do tshuva. Mm-hmm. He doesn't do tshuva, meaning beg forgiveness and he'll listen and so on and so forth, you ban him again. If after 60 days he still didn't do tshuva, then you put the guy in tachedim, which is a stricter type of excommunication. So now the Gemara says, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Le Rav Huna Bar Chinina. Hachi Amar Rav Chista, this is what Rav Chista said, that when you put a guy into Chedim, you have to warn him first. When and where, how do you warn him? So Gemara says this, Masrim Bei Sheni, you warn him on Monday that you're going to excommunicate him, V'chamishi on Thursday, V'sheni and again, and then you put him into Chedim. Okay, so Gemara tells you, according to this opinion, you need three times, even according to many Rishonim, the first ban is also with these three times. Even though the Gemara said before you ban him right away, you excommunicate him right away. This is, right away means you have to warn him. You have to warn him Monday, Thursday, and Monday. Monday and Thursday are special days, because we have Torah reading, courts sit down. You know, courts used to sit Monday and Thursday. In addition to that, the Gemara says, when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Har Sinai, it came down from Har Sinai, it was always on Monday and Thursdays. Hmm. So, you know, the whole concept of Monday and Thursday is because we have long Tachnun, you have Torah reading. It all has to do with the uniqueness of Monday and Thursday. Courts used to sit Monday and Thursday. You know, the market days used to be Monday and Thursday. You know, all these things were Monday and Thursday. Busy days.
Rabbi, I've listened to you.
Okay, but what's the question?
Question is, do you ever find something in the Gemara that is good about the Jews? A Jew or a lot of Jews, I've never heard you laying Gemara that you didn't bring up something very bad.
This is going to be good. Hani mili mamayna. This only applies to a guy who didn't listen to monetary issues. Then you warn him Monday, Thursday, Monday, you know the whole thing. Avol afkerusa. But if he shows contempt to Torah or to a Torah scholar, then la'alta, no warning's necessary. You just excommunicate the guy without any warnings. Wow. In other words, for monetary things, he's not listening, you have to warn him 3 days that he should listen. Then if he doesn't listen, you ban him. Otherwise, just kill him. Okay, now the Gemara says a bunch of stories about banning, and you see, number one, the power that the Chacham, I mean, the strength and the power that the Chacham in the time of the Gemara had, as far as controlling their people, you know, in the right way. He says, Ahu Tapcha, there was a butcher, this Paker Rav Tovia Bar Masna, who was very improper, acted improperly, disrespectful to Rav Tovia Bar Masna. Okay? So Imno Alei Abaye V'Rava, so Abaye and Rava were appointed to investigate the matter, to see, you know, if the guy was talking, did something bad, and so on. What happened? V'Sham Tuhum. At the end result was, after their investigation, they excommunicated the guy. They chedamed him. The Seif, Azul Paisel Abedin. Eventually the butcher went and asked Mechila from the Sraf Tevi Bar Masna. After he was banned, he went and asked Mechila. Mm-hmm. So now the Gemara has a problem. Are you allowed to remove the ban? What's the question?
Why?
1 minute. So Amr Abaye, who investigated the matter with Rava, said to his colleagues, Hey Chalevit, what should we do here? What's the problem? Literally, should we release him from the excommunication? Lechal Shamta Leitasin Yemen. The Shamta was not enforced for 30 days. Meaning as follows. The minimum ban is 30 days. The problem is, they banned him, and let's say a day later he asked forgiveness. Now once he asked forgiveness, normally you have to take off the ban. Right? But the problem is, the ban wasn't for 30 days yet. The Gemara just said, you ban him for 30 days, then if he does tshuva, good, and if not, you do it again. And then again. The Gemara's question over here is, if a guy does tshuva in the middle of the 30 days, do you have to let the ban finish and then it's over? Or can you even stop it in the middle?
Could you define for a second what excommunication entails?
Excommunication means the guy has to sit outside, nobody can talk to him, nobody can do business with him, you can't count it for a minion, you can't give him an aliyah. He's basically cast away. Mm-hmm. Nobody's allowed to eat and drink with him, no business, no communication with the guy, that's it. Now, in a little while, we're going to learn the Gemara about different levels of excommunication. Like if you excommunicate in one city, are you automatically for another city? If you excommunicate it to the student, are you excommunicated to the Rav? If you excommunicate to the Rav, are you excommunicated for the student? You know, the whole process. But basically, Abai said like this. Lishra should release him from the ban. The problem is that Chal Shamta Le'etrasin Yemen. He wasn't in ban for 30 days. Meaning, the Grashi explained, according to Abai, you need at least 30 days. And he didn't have 30 days yet. But and the ban was imposed, right when the guy was wrong. Okay, so what should we do? Not release him from the ban. Then we have another a practical problem. The rabbanon need to buy meat from him. He was the butcher. They needed meat. So how can you buy meat from a guy who's in chayim? So he said, hey, we have a practical problem over here. So Amalei Ravidi Bar Abin. So Ravidi Bar Abin said, Abaye said to Ravidi Bar Abin, Mida Shmila Bahoch. Did you hear anything about this din? You know, Abaye was in the quandary what to do. So he turns to this colleague, Ravidi Bar Abin, he said, hey, by the way, did you hear anything about this? Amalei, so he said, Hachi Amin after Chalifa Bar Avim Amin Shmuel. This is what Tachlifa about Avimi said in the name of Shmuel. Tut Aser, Tut Shari. Meaning, a Shaifer's Tut bans him, a Shaifer's Tut unbans him. Meaning, what Ravidi by Masna says is very simple, Ravidi by Rabban, I mean. He said, the guys that banned him can unban him. And even within the 30 days. He said, this is what I heard. That the toot, I mean the toot, the shayfer, it's interesting, Mark calls it toot, the shayfer blowing that banned him, the shayfer blowing can unban him. And we're going to learn this in a second, I'm going to just bring it up now. The question is, are we talking about the same Bezdin, or can a different Bezdin also do it? Meanwhile, the implication is, the guys that banned him can unban him. So Abaye said, listen, we banned him. Abaye and Rav said, we banned him. So according to you, we can unban him. So Sigmar Amalei, Sabai said, Travidi, you can't prove this from what you're telling me. Where is the din? The Shafer does it, the Shafer undoes it. That's only by Mamina, by monetary things, Shmuel said. Avol Afkirusa, but if he's showing contempt for Chachamim, how do you know? Maybe he needs a 30 days. In other words, what does Shmuel say? The rabbis that banned him can unban him. Shabbai says, yeah, but that's only for monetary bans. But when a person was chutzpidik to the rav of the city, so then they ban him and it has to be 30 days. You didn't answer my question.
Rabbi, when you say ban them, you mean banned from being Jews?
Banned from being connected to any people.
Jewish people?
Yeah. And those they didn't hang around the Goyim too much either. So from here you see
now
though...
You tell me.
Ha'amukasav Rabbi, from here you see though that Rabbi holds one thing. Hani beitlosed the shamitu. What is Rabbi saying? That only the ones that banned him, they are the ones that can unban him. But another Bezdin can't come out and within 30 days and unban him. Meaning like this. Because Abaye was trying to release the ban. So we see from here, the way Rashi explains it, that Abaye wanted, maintained, that only the Bezdin that banned him could unban him within the 30 days. But because after 30 days, if the guy does tshuva, it's automatically off. You don't have to, because otherwise you wouldn't have to continue a second excommunication, just one thing. So the Gemara says, Diboyle, because the Taka question was asked, he says like this, well, the question was asked in the Gemara, Hani, Tlasa, the Shaminu, the Shamisu, the three people that banned him. Can another three judges come and unban him? Or did it have to be only the three that banned him? Who can undo the chayrim? So we see from Abaya that Abaya holds only the three that did it can undo it. But others can't. So the Gemara says, Tashma, come, I'll answer your question. It says like this, Menuda l'rav, one who is excommunicated to the teacher, meaning he acted bad to the teacher. He acted bad to the teacher. Okay? The din is Menuda l'talmud. Then he's automatically excommunicated for the student. If he's excommunicated for the Rebbe, the guy, whoever hurt, you know, insulted the Rebbe, let's say, if he's insulted for the Rebbe, he's insulted for the students of the Rebbe too. They can't have anything to do with him either. But, Menuda l'talmud, but if somebody did something wrong to a student, and they excommunicated him from the student, but the Rav is not affected by the excommunication. Meaning the Rav can talk to the guy and sit with the guy and do everything with the guy.
Rabbi, let's go back. This is a question that bothers the heck out of me because I dealt with matters like this. Let's say a half a dozen people here are excommunicated by Chaim Yossel, period. And like he says, can we six go to another city and pick up being Jews or no more?
We'll see the Gemara now, right now, in fact. So it says like this. If you're excommunicated for the higher authority, you're automatically excommunicated from the lesser authority. If you're excommunicated from the lesser authority, meaning you're excommunicated only from the Talmud, because you're insulted the Talmud, you're not necessarily excommunicated for the Rav. Then he says, Menuda li'irai, if a person is excommunicated to the people in the city, Menuda li'irachers, he's excommunicated to the people in a different city. Meaning, if it's equal or smaller city, he's excommunicated from them too. But, Menuda li'iracheres, but one who is excommunicated to people in a different city, he is not excommunicated to the residents of the other city. Meaning like this, their excommunication, like he says at the bottom, residents of the other city simply lack the authority to excommunicate a person to the residents of his own town as well. In other words, if Yanko lives in L.A. and New York bans him, L.A. doesn't have to take the ban. New York doesn't have the authority to ban a guy for L.A. So even though he's banned in New York, let's say, but in L.A. he's not banned.
But you just said that he's banned in another city.
No, the Gemara says, if the guy was, one was excommunicated to the inhabitants of his city, meaning he did something bad to his city, so because he's excommunicated to the whole city, then another city is also, he's excommunicated for them also.
So, but you just said that New York...
But the other way around is different. He lives in L.A. Oh, I'm sorry.
No.
He lives in L.A., and he does something wrong in New York, and he's excommunicated in New York.
Oh, in other words, that won't affect
him. An L.A. person, right.
Okay, it won't affect him in L.A.
Correct.
So from the place of residence.
Okay. Now, Menuda l'Nasi, a person who is excommunicated to the Nasi, to the leader of the Jewish people, is Menuda l'Chol Yisrael, as he's excommunicated for everybody. Okay. But, Menuda l'Chol Yisrael, a person who was put in Techeirem, for everybody, for a Nasi, he's above it all. There's no excommunication. He could talk to the guy, do business with the guy, whatever. Rav Shimon Gamliel Eimer, Rav Shimon Gamliel says, an interesting din, Echad min ha-talmidim shenidav emes, in a case when a person who excommunicated another person, one of the best died. One second. What happens if three people excommunicated a guy? A Beis Din excommunicated Reuven. And one of the three members of Beis Din died? That's it. There's no way of undoing the ban.
Oh, gosh. I thought
well,
it's after 30 days, it's already.
How does it go to this different city?
It goes by itself.
Yeah, but that's only after 30 days. The ban automatically falls off if you did tshuva.
Right.
We're talking in the middle of the 30 days.
So you stuck for 30
what?
Days?
What? I didn't understand the menudah. In the beginning, I understood it from menudah from Rav. So it's excommunicated. But what's menudah for the Nasi? I don't understand the concept of when you put it to the president.
No, not the president. If he's did something wrong to the Nasi, and they excommunicated him because of that, he's excommunicated for all Jews. But a guy who's excommunicated because he did something bad to the Jews is not excommunicated from the Nasi. Because you can only excommunicate for equal or lesser. You can't excommunicate it for somebody and higher. You can only go lower, not higher. Okay, so the Gemara says, what do you see from here? Shema mino talas. From this, then you see three laws from this braith. Number one, shema mino talmud shenida lechveidei, that a student who was excommunicated another person for his own honor, niduyev nidui, the excommunication is valid. That means the Talmud excommunicated somebody, he's excommunicated. Ushma mino, another thing you see, kol echad ve'efed me'echelke. Every person must revoke his own portion. Because the guy that died, the other two can't revoke the ban anymore. Which means that each person has a part in the ban, and his ban he has to release. And if he dies, he can't release it. And the third thing is, Shema min ohani beit tulasa. The shamisa, and finally, this is what the Gemara is coming to, that a bezdin that excommunicated somebody, lay also tlos achrine v'sharle, three people, another bezdin can't come and undo the ban. Why? Because what did it say if the guy died? You can't remove the ban. Why can't you just get another bezdin? Get another bezdin and undo the ban. Is it proof that once the ban is made, the only one that can undo it is the bezdin that made the ban.
And what's the proof?
No, because the guy that died,
right,
they said the ban remains forever.
Right.
Well, until just tshuva, but until 30 days, right? Why can't you just get another bezdin and undo the ban? It's a proof, you can't. Because only he could do it. Only the guys that made it can remove it.
And this is specifically a ban from contempt of court, right?
Huh?
This is
we're not done yet.
Uh-huh.
And it's even though this is a clear proof from a braisa.
Money, once he's done tshuva, then he's released immediately. But if he's in contempt of court, at pikurat or whatever you call it,
you can't.
You cannot.
Only the guys that did it can undo it.
You have a
band-aid
back there.
No. Amen but Amemer says even though the braisa proves one way, Gemara says Amen Amemer Hilchasa. Hani beitlosa de shamisu. The halach is he doesn't agree with the braisa. The braisa proves clearly, according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel at least, that if a guy dies, that's it. There's no way of undoing the ban. So Meimer says not the halacha. The halacha is hani beitlosa de shamisu. Three people in the bezin that banned. Also beitlosa achrina. Another three people can come v'sholei and undo the ban. But as the Mefudi Yishenim right. The latter three have to be as great or greater than the first three.
That's
the halacha. Huh?
That's the halacha.
Right. Now, at the bottom in 75, he brings down the Rishenim argue, is that, does a Amemer mean only if the guy died or not? In other words, there's two ways of looking at a Amemer's statement. A Amemer's final statement is, if three people banned, another three can unban. It doesn't have to be the same three, right? The shail is that only if one of the three first three died? Now there's no choice. So then a Amemer says, okay, listen, one of the three died. How are you going to undo the ban? So then we allow another three to come. What happens if the three are alive? And they don't want to remove the ban. But another Bezdin wants to remove the ban. So, Is that a Maimer also saying? Because all a Maimer is saying is, if three people made a ban, another three people could undo it. Now, does he mean in all cases? Or does he mean if the first three cannot undo the ban because one died? But if they're all three around, and they don't want to undo the ban, because if they want to undo the ban, let them undo the ban.
Rabbi, did this system spread to Jewish courts at that time all over the world?
Yes.
Really? Oh my God.
That's good. Why God?
What's wrong? I don't think he means if one of them died.
Why?
Because then he would say, just bring another person. Why do we need to bring another three judges?
Because these two guys might not want to do it.
Only one of them died. Why the other two would not want to do it?
Because maybe you need a whole new Beis Din. Or, by the way, it could be, when the Gemara says another three, it means to make it three. If you see in 75, he just says at the bottom, from the Muki Yesiv, it seems that this is permitted only if one of the judges died. But he said, the Ritva argues, the other guys argue also. So, that's the Machlekes and Rishonim. What does this mean? But most Rishonim hold that any Beis Din can undo the ban of a previous Beis Din. Obviously, they feel that. And not because politically they like the guy or whatever.
So if one of them passes away, we doctor three new guys or just one new guy?
It's unclear. It could be even one new guy.
So that probably makes the most sense, only because the original, the two guys who are alive...
Even though the Gemara's expression is three other judges come. So I don't know. But...
So there's no end to it. What's the full verdict if this can be replaced by other judges? Because the Gemara is clearly saying if he dies...
Well, one second. The Gemara is going to ask, and I'm Maimer from the Brice we just said of Rav Shimon Gamliel. Rav Shimon Gamliel said you can't, if a guy died, you can't undo the ban. Okay, let's see it. Amalei Rav Ashi Lema Maimer. So Rav Ashi said to Maimer, how could you say that three other people can undo the ban? For Tanya, we just learned in the Braise, Rav Shimon ben Gamliel Eimer. Ech min ha-tamidim shenido mes. One of the tamidim, meaning one of the original three that made the ban, died. Chalke in a mufer, he cannot, his portion cannot be unbanned. Right? My love, mistamit means, ein a mufer klal. It can never be revoked. So how could you say you could bring another Beis Din and revoke the ban? So he said, no, that's not what it means. What it means is you need three other judges to come along and release him. It could be that you must have another three. I mean, for the Gemara keeps saying this, three more. The question is why? What's wrong if I just add one more? Maybe it could be even if they don't want to. That's what it means.
And three things
in the
Vav, three things?
No. One, two, first of all, the Pasuk says, Pishnayim, Edom Yokum Dov. A Beis Din is three. Because you need odd numbers. Unlike in America, where you can have a hung jury, so to speak, because you have 12, and you can have six and six. Yeah, in Torah law, but because there's no jury in Torah law, but I'm saying even the whole concept of judges is never allowed to be an even number, because then you can have a hung Beis Din. No, I mean, if, even in monetary laws, it's either three or one or five, or I mean, whatever. It has to be an odd number, because if you have four people in Beis Din and two say he's guilty and two to pay, and the other two say innocent to pay, so what do?
Nothing.
Nothing.
I wonder why two state Jews with stuff like this going on.
I don't know, it's a good question. Now the Gemara says, good question. I know.
By the way, is this issue still unresolved thousands of years later?
What do you mean unresolved?
In other words, do we.
Another Beis Din, Halacha is another Beis Din could do it.
Oh, okay, there's another Beis Din.
Yeah.
But we're not sure whether it means another person.
That would, no, but Pashas, the implication is that it means another Beis Din. I mean, that's what the Gemara keeps saying, another Beis Din. The Gemara doesn't say you add a third guy. The Gemara says you need to, it has to be a whole new Beis Din.
So
So when it says Abaye and Rava impose the ban, the Gemara is not being exact. Because
right. No, it means three people. It means the three people actually banned them.
You mentioned that a Talmud could ban, could excommunicate a person.
A Talmud means... No, it means even if he's not the big... Right. But if it was an insult to the Talmud's rabbinic authority... Or it, you know, then he could do it.
But by himself, or does he need two more?
No, he needs a bezin to do it.
Even the beginning of the
yeah, game? Yeah.
What about the student? Same.
Which student?
The student that got insulted by a student. Men on there.
If somebody insulted the student gets two more rabbis and make a ban against that guy.
So he can be a part of the free.
Right. Today they very. Very much go out of the way not to make bans. I mean, even today, according to Halacha, you get summons by Beis Din. Okay? Mm-hmm. Let's say I have a case against you, yeah? I go to Beis Din and say, listen, Beis Din, I have a case against David. Summons him to Beis Din. They'll give you one summons, you don't answer. They'll send another summons, you still don't answer. They'll send a third summons, you still don't answer. Technically, according to Halacha, Beis Din has to ban you. Okay? Today, because of the logistics of Jewish politics, because I'll give you an example. Let's say I have a Beis Din, yeah? And I excommunicate, God forbid, somebody. Who's going to listen? It becomes a joke. The Beis Din, I don't like this Beis Din, not a Beis Din. So sometimes, out of respect of a Beis Din, they wouldn't excommunicate the guy. Because what happens if Beis Din excommunicates the guy and nobody listens to it? It becomes a joke. So then Beis Din becomes a joke.
Right.
And it's disrespectful to Torah that Beis Din should become disrespected.
So what do they do?
So what they usually do today, even though they threaten excommunication, and by the way, in New York they do this. I mean, they do this in New York. A certain some of the sharp Beis Din, they will excommunicate you. And no. What I'll tell you, you know what they really do it today? If a guy refuses to give a get to his wife just to spite, you know, there's no proper reason or reason. So you have cases that in that case, to put pressure on the guy to give a get, Beis Din will excommunicate the guy.
Before
I'll pay you with him. And the ban stays until the guy gives a get. No, I mean, you'll get letters in New York, you always see this. This guy refused, in fact, I don't read the Jewish press, but when, sometimes I was looking, be somewhere looking at Jewish press, you'd see a letter from a Beis Din excommunicating a guy for refusing to give a get to his wife. And they publicize in the papers. Do people follow it? You know, like everything else. So what they do instead, like this, if I have a case, I'm taking you to court, right? And so I'm playing to you the defendant. But I can't go to Goyishe court, I have to go to Beis Din. Right? So, but if three times you're summons, you don't come, then Beis Din will give me legal permission, halachic permission, to go to court. And once you go to court, with permission, then Beis Din will back you all the way. But if you take me to court, if you take me to court without permission from Beis Din, yeah? Beis Din will allow the guy to counter sue and to mess you up whatever they want as a punishment for taking a Jew to court. I mean, to secular court rather than Beis Din.
Is it a practice? Is it a practice today, like in the LA system of Beis Din? Are you on a Beis Din?
Whatever.
Okay, so is it a practice though today for if a person is summoned to Beis Din, and let's say he was a teacher in one of the Jewish schools and so on. And he sent to base, but he doesn't show up those three times.
They will tell the school not to hire him.
They will
to fire
all
him.
The
yeah.
schools in the area not to hire him.
They will.
They will.
I mean, again, it depends on the bet. Yeah. Right. Yeah. What are you saying in Israel?
They have the power to confiscate passports.
In the Beis Din?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
Passports.
Really?
They don't give the gift.
So well, because so because what's still going on, I don't know for how much longer, the marriages and divorces to be legal have to go through the Rabbanut, so they have the legal government power to perform marriages and divorces. It has to go through the Rabbanut. So therefore they have that power, because the government gives them the power. Today, the power of a Beis Din in America is only binding arbitration. In other words, if I go with you to Beis Din, plaintiff and defendant both have to sign a legal binding arbitration document, which is enforceable in court. It's written by lawyers. I mean, it's a whole, whole full page that you're binding yourself to legal binding arbitration. And then, and even the secular thing, if me and you take them as arbitrators, and we bind ourselves to the arbitration, whatever they say is going to hold up in any court. So Beis Din becomes that binding arbitration that will be held up in court. And by the way, there were many cases here in L.A., that people lost in Beis Din, and they said, "Okay, we're going to court." And they went to court, and the guy showed a document from Beis Din. The judge threw out the case and the court enforced
really?
The decision of the Beis Din.
Is that right? So the courts work with the Beis Din.
It's easier for them.
Rabbi.
So I had less headache. Whenever a court today in America can dump it back to rabbinics, they prefer it much better.
Rabbi, in all the years in Los Angeles school system at Fairfax High School, 32 years, one thing I learned, you can coach football, basketball, baseball, whatever, and if you're fired as a coach, you don't lose your job as a teacher.
Mazel tov. Okay, so now the Gemara says,
by the way, I wasn't fired as a coach.
I know. You should have been. Tan Rabbanan, the Rabbanan learned.
What did he say?
You should have been. Ain't need to.
If I had you as a player, I'd have failed you.
I know. Tan Rabbanan, ain't need to. I would have quit. Ain't need to. Pachas Mishleishim Yain. A Nidui ban is not less than 30 days.
By the way, Yatola and Mendel would never say...
Shvein Nazifa, but there's no rebuke. And the Gemara is going to explain what Nazif is, what the Chedim is. But sometimes there is a concept of rebuke, meaning when some is not worthy of being excommunicated, it's more of a rebuke. So rebuke is not less than 7 days. And if the guy did something very bad, where you ban him, it's minimum 30 days. And it says, Alpha Pishen Rayel Odovet, even though we don't have a clear proof from Chumash, from Tanakh, that a ban is 30 days and the Nazifa, a rebuke, is 30 days, is a week, Zeichel Odovet. We see a hint to it in Chumash. Because it says, Vavir Yorik Yorak Befaneha, if her father to spit in her face, would she not be humiliated for less than a week? The story when Miriam and Aaron spoke Lashon Hara against Moshe. Okay? So Hashem punished her that she became leprosy. Aaron and Miriam became lepers for 7 days. So the Pasuk says, if her father would spit in her face, wouldn't she be embarrassed for 7 days? So what do you see? That an insult period is 7 days. So therefore the Gemara learns out that Nazifa is 7 days and a Chedem, a Nidui, is 30 days.
Is not
Nazifa? Huh?
An insult is not a Malbit.
It depends. The different levels of... Sometimes a person does such a crime that he's worthy of being chedemed. And sometimes he just needs a Nazifa. Huh? Shamti means he excommunicated him. Amr Rav Chista said, Nidui Shalanu Ar Nidui in Bavel is equivalent to a rebuke in Israel. Meaning, in Eretz Yisrael, Chedem was 30 days, Nazifa was a week. In Bavel, Chedem was also a week. That's the implication of the Gemara here. So now the Gemara says, V'sulai, and that's all. Meaning, a rebuke in Eretz Yisrael is no more than 7 days? The Gemara is asking. I'll tell you a story that happened. But Rab Shimon bar Rebbe, Rab Shimon, who was Rebbe's son, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi's son, of Bar Kapora, and this person Bar Kapora, Avi Yosef called Garse, they were sitting and learning. You know, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi's son, Rab Shimon, and Bar Kapora were friends. They were sitting and learning. What happened? Kashul Shmaitzer, they had a difficulty in the Gemara. They didn't understand something in learning. Amalei Reb Shimon Lebakapada. So Reb Shimon said, Bakapada, Dover Zat Tzarech Rabbi. Ah, for this we need to ask my father Rabbi. Now this is difficult. We need to have his clarification. Amalei Bakapada Reb Shimon. So Bakapada said to Reb Shimon, Umar Rabbi Eimer B'Dover Zat. What could Rabbi possibly say in this? Like, what would Rabbi help us? So what happened? Azad Amalei Lavur. So Reb Shimon told his father Rabbi what Bakapada said. What did Bakapada say? He said, well, what's Rabbi going to help here? Rabbi's not going to help. So innocently, the Mefarshim explained, because obviously, otherwise it would be Lashon Hara. Okay? So he innocently told his father the story. What happened? Ikpid. Rabbi became upset. Rabbi was angry at Bakapada for the statement he said. So what happened? A little while later, Bakapada came. Tommy came to visit Rabbi. He didn't know the whole story. He didn't know that Rabbi was angry at him, so he came to Rabbi. Amalei, so Rabbi said to Bakapada, Bakapada, Einich makir chol meilim. I don't even know who you are. Bakapada was a student. Okay? Bakapada comes, and Rabbi says to him, you know what? Who are you? Like, I don't know you. Yada the Nakin Milsa Bedaite. So Bakapada understood that Rabbi was angry with him. So what happened? Noeg Nizufuf Benafshe Tlosin Yemen. He rebuked himself for 30 days. That's the story.
Bakapada?
Yeah. So the question is, this story took place in Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara says in Eretz Yisrael Nizifus a week. Nobody put him to Chedim. Right? Rabbi was upset with him. So he had Nazifa. Now, we just got through saying Nazifa as a week, and yet Bakapada did it for 30 days. So the Gemara answers, the Gemara doesn't answer it. Okay, so now the Gemara tells another story. Shuv Pamechot, one time, Gaza Rabbi.
How could he put himself in some sort of a cherem, this
Bakapada? That's called Nazifa. Nazif is what you put yourself into.
Meaning you tell your friends, don't talk to me, don't close to me.
Yeah, he felt in a form of rebuke that he says, it is not a form of nivdui, and therefore rebuked individual is not subject to need his restrictions. Rather, he must behave as one who has been humiliated by a superior, but in confining himself to his quarters, avoiding people, minimizing his business and social activities. And he says, how do you undo Nazifa? You undo it by yourself. The question is, though, Bakapada did it for 30 days, when Rav Chista says it's for a week. And the Gemara doesn't answer this, meanwhile. Then the Gemara tells another story. Shuv Pamechot, one time, Gazer Rebbe, oh, by the way, I just want to explain one thing. Nobody should think that Rebbe had an ego problem.
A what problem?
An ego problem.
Oh.
Okay, what did Bakapada say? Ready? What's Rebbe going to help us here? You have to understand, Rebbe was Rebbe, as the leader of the Jewish people, needed to demand respect. Not that he needed respect. Rebbe was a very bitter, holy Jew. He didn't have Yetzer Hara that has a guy insulted him. What did he say already? He spoke to his buddy, the Pshimon, who happened to be his son. He said, what's your father going to help us here? I mean, it's not such a terrible thing. But Rebbe, being the leader of the Jewish people, needed that the people should have the ultimate respect for him in order for his authority to carry weight. It's like when parents need to demand respect from their kids, it's not for the parent. The kid needs to know that they must respect the parent. And therefore the parent can't say, I don't care, who cares? That's not the point, it's not the parent. It's not the parent that needs the respect. The kid needs to give the respect. And therefore, the Yehuda Nasi, it wasn't Pshat, they had a problem with his ego, you know. And he said, it actually was a concept, he had to give respect. Okay, then the Gemara says, Shuv Pamachas, there was another time. Gazi Rabbi made a gzeira, Shal Yishanu Tamidim Bashuk. You should not, the teachers should not teach the kids in the public places. He didn't want. My daughters, why did Rebbe make such a takana? So he says, because the pasuk says, Chamuki yirechayech kmei chaloyim. Your hidden thighs are like jewels. Now what does it mean? It refers to Torah, the jewels. So ma yarech beseisa, just like a thigh is in the private part of the body, divrei Torah beseisa. Torah should also be hidden. Okay? Meaning, it should be done in a private setting, which is more respectful and so on. So now the Gemara says, Yatze Rabchia went out. V'shana l'shnei b'nei achav bashuk. He taught his two nephews in the marketplace. Rabchia was a student of Rebbe. So Rabchia knew what Rebbe said, that no teaching Torah in public places. But he still taught his two nephews in public places. Rebbe found out about it, and he got angry at him, and Rabchia nazifed himself for 30 days. So basically, we have to stop here, but the point is that the Gemara's question is, Nazif is 7 days according to you, why did they do it for 30 days?